Oh, I got it on those things. I wonder if it sounds weird. That's it. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2076. Diane?
Chair Cruz and members of the committee, House Bill 2076 changes the membership of the State Commission on Children and Families. It changes the public members from 6 to 3 and changes the one rural member and one urban member representation to 5 members representing each Oregon congressional district. And with my SMS, I provided you with a list of the commission membership so that you could see who's there.
Okay, Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm here to give you a little bit of background on House Bill 2076 and why it was brought before you today. As former Speaker Campbell discussed with the Children's Care Team, one of the recommendations of the Children's Care Team is that we set up a state commission on children and families and 36 local commissions on children and families, with the purpose of trying to figure out how we connect this fragmented and non-holistic system that we have for kids and families in our state, or that we had in 1991, and I think we're moving in a good direction now, but there's still a lot of work to do. The idea behind the original State Commission on Children and Families, and I'll have to tell you that I actually was a staff member in the agency when that State Commission was appointed, and actually helped develop the work plan and some of the initial paperwork and agendas and things as we started rolling out this whole new commission. The idea was that there would be members appointed by the governor and that they would represent different interest groups. The superintendent of public instruction at the time, it was Norma Paulus, now Stan Bunn, and the director of the Department of Human Resources, who at the time was Kevin Concannon, and now it is Bobby Mink, that those two would be standing members of the commission. And the original concept also was that these difficult issues about how you connect education and human services and how you build this seamless system and connect it to the community level, that those policy issues would be debated by the state commission, that the state commission would actually bring discussions about what the barriers are, if there needed to be legal changes, to the legislature. And the legislature actually set up a committee on children and families, and the last session that committee was convened was 97. Chair Cruz was on that as a freshman, and I was staff to that. And so that was the original intent. And I think Speaker Campbell alluded to the fact that we sort of were at a standstill for a number of years after 1993. A lot of turf wars, a lot of kind of mixed signals, and some difficulty with the State Commission trying to figure out what its role was supposed to be. Also a lot of difficulty in determining whether this is supposed to be a grassroots effort. And so basically the state policy, it kind of comes up from the local level as the local level brings their issues to the state, or whether the state needs to kind of create its own policy over the local commissions. And I think we've been struggling with that and continue to see challenges in that. During the last session, because there was some feeling among the people that were developing Senate Bill 555, which tweaked House Bill 2004, that the commission needed to be more responsive to the legislature and not just the governor, there were two members of the legislature put on, one appointed by the Speaker of the House and the other appointed by the President of the Senate, and they're non-voting members. So that change was made last session, and that's really been the only change since 1993. In putting together a small work group from the coalition prior to session, and Representative Cruz actually was asking for suggestions for bills that the interim committee would be looking at, some of the folks in that work group, particularly from Eastern Oregon, said that they don't feel that they're really represented anymore on the state commission. The original state commission had Pat Sowers from Halfway on it, and she was a very active member, but her term has since ended. Also, Don Hammond from Deschutes County, and who had been a director, was very active. But if you look at that list of members that you see before you, I think the rural member is from Yamhill County, so that's over here in the Willamette Valley, and the urban member representing local commissions is from Clackamas County, which is also here in the Tri-County area. The only person that is representing the commission that's east of the mountains is the juvenile director, but the juvenile director doesn't really represent a local commission point of view. They represent a juvenile department director point of view, and I think Representative Girard, having worked at the county level, knows that those aren't necessarily congruent all of the time. And so the local commissions don't see that person, particularly from the east side, representing those eastern Oregon rural issues. So the proposal that they asked us to put together into this bill is perhaps using the 5 congressional districts as a way to make sure that representation is more spread, diverse, or representative of the different geographic areas of Oregon, rather than being primarily from the valley or from the Portland area. You'll notice what it does is it actually reduces the number of public members that the governor can appoint from 6 to 3, and then increases from 2 to 5 the numbers who actually represent local commissions, rather than having one from a rural area and one from an urban area. So the governor continues to appoint the same number of members. It just changes the distribution of those members. So with that, I'll close my testimony and see if you have any questions.
Any questions? Thank you.
Straightforward.
Doug Carlson.
Chair Cruz and members of the committee, my name is Doug Carlson from Yamhill County, and I do not represent the coalition at this testimony, nor do I really represent my commission. I'm just speaking for myself on this. Our chair, Mike Brott, is the chair of our local commission and is the rural representative on the state commission. And I'm speaking about the experience we've had with him on both commissions. I think it has allowed a great deal of effective communication between both the state perspective and the local perspective. We're aware of state concerns that Mike brings to us, and he's able to articulate from a local perspective some of the issues that we feel are really important. So I think it does really affect positive communication. He is a retired ex-superintendent of schools, and he's devoted about 20 hours a week to both of these tasks. So I think that is one of the challenges for a local person to be able to be effective both in a local commission and in a state commission is the amount of time commitment. And I know the state had a difficult time recruiting a rural member, and Mike was very, very excited to serve on the state commission, and I think he's an excellent member. So I think it's really effective from our local commission's perspective to have this. I think Representative Carlson in her comments indicated the need for diversity. And I think that's really the overriding issues in our community is the diversity to bring in a broader segment of people into the state commission and into the perspectives, whether appointed by the governor or mandated from local communities, I think are either option. But I think the real key is to get broad representation from both business and faith communities and local communities on the state commission. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you very much. Anybody else like to testify on the bill? Seeing no other testimony, I'll close public hearing on 2076 and I'll open the work session. Colleagues, just for your information, we have a lot of our commissions, not just here, but other parts of government, we have been moving to this model for representation kind of on congressional districts, and just to make sure that we have statewide input in these policy bodies. So this is not out of context with where we're going in other areas of government also. Representative Morissette.
I would move House Bill 2076 to the floor of the House for the due pass recommendation.
Representative Morissette has moved House Bill 2076 to the floor for the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Morissette, would you like to carry?
Very much like to carry.
Okay, and with that, I'll close the work session on 2076. I'll open the work session on 2081. Diane.
Chair Cruz and members of the committee, House Bill 2081 requires the Children's Ombudsman create and distribute information packets on agency services to local commissions on children and families.
We have Jim Dennis.
Jim.
Please note that this bill at this time has a Ways and Means referral. So it will be sent to Ways and Means.
And Mickey.
And Mickey.
Good to see you, Chairman Chris.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm Jen Dennison, Administrator of the Governor's Advocacy and Children's Ombudsman Office at Department of Human Services. I am very disappointed in myself that the representative had to write a piece of legislation to make us realize that we don't communicate as well as we should. My office, our department, and the commission could have done a much better job at promoting who we are, what we do, and local commissions would have known how to access our information and services. So I'm really pleased that she brought this to our attention. In looking at how we could could make this happen. As you all know, we have some really serious budget constraints this year. I have concerns that the budget impact might cause this bill not to get where it needs to go. When we looked at it, we realized that probably the most effective way to communicate the information to local commissions and to citizens in general would be to create a webpage for the Children's Ombudsman, so folks in local commission offices, school teachers, anybody in local communities, public at large, could find a way to access information on this service. Because we are in budget constraints, I don't know that we could create a position to keep a web page up and running because information changes so often to keep that information current. One of the things I talked to Mickey about was how about we find ways to promote our 800 members of local commissions to make sure that we are communicating as we have failed to do in the past and could have done a better job to do. And also there's a way now that we could link just an information spot at the Children's Ombudsman to the DHS website, which is currently there, the Department of Human Services website. And there is one on the Governor's Advocacy Office, which does have a citizen concern form. So folks can access that information and send us their concerns electronically. I think we could probably connect the Children's Ombudsman piece to that without a great deal of difficulty and time on our staff to our communication staff that would have to create the web piece to do that.
Questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, let's turn to Doug.
Good afternoon. Do you have an estimate, or does anyone have an estimate on what the additional cost would be?
Chairman Cruz, Representative Garrard, yes, we do. As I looked at it, I felt that one FTE would accomplish that. I talked to our communication staff to find out what the people who develop and maintain a website, exactly what the cost is for that position. I don't know, Diane, was that information provided to you? So that you
I have the fiscal impact that I provided to all the members.
It's one FTE.
The representative just didn't know it was there.
Okay. I think it's about $100,000 for a biennium to maintain that position.
Thank you.
May I have Senator Mossa?
This is kind of a statement, but maybe I'll end up with a question. I'm glad to see the history of the Ombudsman here because I've always thought the Ombudsman served a very useful purpose by cutting through red tape. Now, my conversations with the Ombudsman and Service to Children and Families and other areas is that they have absolutely no power to do anything. And I've always thought it would be nice to pass a bill that says that they could say to a department, you will do this unless you have compelling reasons not to do it, rather than just try to persuade someone to do something. But I think the Ombudsman serves an extremely useful purpose as is, and I don't know what complications would arise if we tried to change it by giving them more power. But I just think it's nice to have someone who can cut through the red tape after listening to a problem and talking to the particular staff person or caseworker or whatever and say, this is what I think you ought to do. You know, and you tell me why you can't do it, and I'll listen to you, but otherwise do it for what it's worth. Is that a good idea?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morissette, it's not a bad idea at all. In fact, much of what you described, we do it internally, so there isn't any public hand-slapping, and I think that's where we get into the public thinking the fox is guarding the hen house, so really nothing is happening inside. We do a lot of making recommendations and suggestions for policy changes to our divisions when we see a gap in program or services that should improve. My staff and I really have been what we call the system navigator if we look at taking Department of Human Services apart and putting it back together in a more appropriate way to deliver services. That's kind of how we operate in a very small function, because when you come in and say your grandparents, you came in and you said to us, my grandchild was taken into care, I don't understand what's going on with the system. My staff and I are going to look at why was that child taken into care. What are the needs of the parents that caused that child to come into care? Are there extenuating circumstances? In my home, I'm the caregiver to an elderly parent. So that would have impact on how things ran in my home, which may impact what happened if I was caring for one of my grandchildren, as well as my elderly parent. Mm-hmm. So we look holistically at what's happening with that family that caused the problem that generated the need to call us to get help. we connect them to the services. So we don't say, call this number, they'll help you. Call that number, they'll help you with this. We connect them to those services and explain the process to them. Mm-hmm. Many times, people don't understand what has happened in the lives of their adult children that caused a child to come into care. Because of confidentiality, I can't tell you what your adult child may have done that caused your grandchild to come into care, but I would urge you to develop a communication dialogue with your adult child to get some honest answers or to give us a release so that we could tell you what happened to bring that child into care. I can say, since Ramona Foley has become the administrator of services to children and families, the communication between my office and that division has improved 1,000%, and we really get action on difficult issues. And many times we're staffing a case with them, which may have been generated by a call from one of the legislators.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I have a question. I was looking at this fiscal, and I find it appears that the only thing that is being changed here is to create and distribute to local commissions this packet of resources and services available. And yet it says this FTE is going to cost $94,000 the first biennium and $125,000 the next biennium. Isn't this information already available? I don't understand why this would be such an expensive thing to undertake if the information is already available, just someone to distribute the information.
Mr. Chair, Representative Walker, very good question. What we have found is resources, because we're dealing with an entire state, not just one county, one city. Resources in those areas change constantly. To make printed material available means we're constantly going to have to be writing and printing materials. If we could do it on a website, all we need is a webmaster person, one person, to continuously update that information. There is nothing in writing because things change so often, other than our process to provide the service to the public and to speak to local representatives in their counties and their cities about what resources are there.
You already have the website? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. You already have the website?
We do not.
Do not?
That's why this is...
Mm-hmm. You don't participate in the state website system? I mean, the state has those available already. What would it take to connect to that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Walker, we do have a website for the Department of Human Services. There is a small function piece of the Governor's Advocacy Office, which is my main program, is there with just an information piece and a citizen's concern form. So if you had a concern, you could go to the Department of Human Services website. You could find the Governor's Advocacy Office. You could see the citizen concern form, fill it out, send it to me electronically. That piece is there. We don't have a piece that could put the constantly changing information on services that local commissions might want to access as far as helping them to navigate the people they're serving through all the resources around the state and in their area.
How often does this information change? I mean, do you
it
have to
change.
Pay weekly or
it
monthly?
Could.
Or?
It could. Because we don't have that, we do it and we evolve as we go. So in thinking through and talking with the folks who maintain our website, they don't currently have staff to keep up with what we do have in the department. So as we looked at what would it take to provide this service, which would be less expensive than if we had to produce written publications because they would constantly be changing, it was more cost effective to look at it and creating a web page specifically for children's ombudsman and children issues that could be accessed at a local level.
Have you explored how much it would cost to contract to do it rather than have it done within the agency?
Mr. Chair, Representative Walker, to be honest with you, I had one day to prepare a fiscal impact statement, so no.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Nikki Lansing, Deputy Director of the Oregon Commission on Children and Families, and I'm just here to offer support to the Department of Human Services in terms of whatever it is they do, we would be willing to help them. And I'm not sure that I think that we can provide information packets, and when I say we, I mean the Oregon Commission on Children and Families, to local commissions around the 800 number, what that is, at least some basic information for them to know. We would be glad if you chose not to continue this bill in terms of putting it into legislation. We would be glad to report back to you to tell you exactly what we've done, how we've done it, and how we're going to do some ongoing process to at least ensure that local commissions get some information about the Ombudsman's office, what they do, how they access it, what kind of services are there. We certainly can't commit to doing a huge information piece without knowing what the resources would take in order to do that. But we are willing to work with DHS and do whatever it is we can to ensure that local commissions have information that they can provide to the community.
Chair. Thank you. And I'm not sure to whom I should direct this question, but I noticed that this was pre-session filed at the request of the House Interim Committee on Health and Human Services, of which you remember? Okay, so it was yours. So maybe the question is, may I direct it toward you? Thank you.
I bet you could.
I'm curious why it was felt that it was better that it come from a central agency in Salem rather than having each commission develop their own resource manual or flyer or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When we get done when we get done with this panel, I've got somebody else who will come up from the local commission and explain the need for that.
Great. Thank you.
So, any other questions? Thank you very much. Jillian. While Jillian's on her way up here, just let me say that the Commission on Children and Families in Douglas County is doing an incredible job of coordinating services on an ever-expanding spectrum, and that young lady there is the principal reason. She is terrific.
Which of the two young ladies?
Well,
actually, we're the dynamic duo. So we do lots of things.
I don't want to lose control here.
Good incredible is good incredible. Huh?
Oh, absolutely good incredible.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Chair Cruz and honorable members of the committee, my name is Jillian Nicolaitis. I'm the director of the Douglas County Commission on Children and Families. There were a couple of us who talked about this, and the intent was never to create more financial funding for a bill like this, because I know in these hard financial times, this was not the intent. The only intent of this bill was that in previous legislative sessions, 36 legislators or 36 county legislators got packets telling what the Ombudsman did. The commissions did not. So that was the only intent. It was not to create a website. We have a warm line in Douglas County that does a great job that also connects people to services. So it's a redundancy that we really don't need. The intent of this was, and the hope of this was, that possibly the Ombudsman could come and do a presentation to the coalition and send the same packets that they were sending to the legislature in previous legislative sessions. It was never to create a website. It was never to create the redundancy of what we have in many communities, you know, some kind of information and referral. What happens with commissions is, because we are a county entity, anytime someone calls up our county and says, I have this issue, we get it. If they say children, if they say families, if they say seniors, whatever they say, we're kind of the catch-all because the county operator doesn't know where to send people. So if it's a divorce, it doesn't matter what it is, if they don't know where to send people, we get it. And so our hope was just that we can get as much information as possible so that we can serve our citizens. When I see people in our county building and they're lost, I walk with them and direct them where to go, just based on my Marriott hotel background. That you take this, you do customer service and you take the person where they need to go. You don't just point them, you take them. And so all the intent of this was to make sure that counties could get the information they need so that they could, you know, help direct the people to the right place to go. It was never to create more funding for more state knowledge. So I don't know if that helps to answer the questions of the intent of the bill. And I think maybe Representative Carlson wanted to say some things, too.
Thank you, Representative Janet Carlson. I'll just add, this bill came out of the same little work group I alluded to with the last bill. There was some discussion about the role of local commissions and how exactly, as Jillian just described it, they get lots of calls from people looking for services. Many counties are developing right now hotlines, warm lines, databases, crisis lines. There are some excellent state databases already in place, the greater...
Greater Oregon Online Data System, the GOOD system. You might have seen the green phone books in your counties that are developing of the different services. Marion County, both Marion and Douglas County are working with that system, and I understand that the state correction system has actually finished an excellent database of the various services and have staff available that are going to continue to update that. So I'm not sure that we need another website of services in the counties or around Oregon. However, when some issues came up and I said, well, when I have an issue like that, I call Jen Dennison. And frankly, Jen does an excellent job in the Department of Human Services, and she is able to direct people with their issues. And the folks that were in the work group said, who is Jen Dennison? We've never heard of the ombudsman. Why haven't we ever heard of the ombudsman? And hence the idea for the bill was born that maybe there could be some advertisement about who the ombudsman is and the services they provide so that local commissions would know that that was one more resource that they could go to when they get stuck, particularly with instances not just of referring people to services, but when they have particular problems around families as we get as legislators and we're not able to navigate the system because we can't get the confidential records or because, you know, there's agencies involved that we really don't have an entree to as much, and that would allow the local commissions the same access that we have and the same information. So I'm not sure if we need a bill to do this, if they're willing. Our envisionment was simply 36 brochures being sent out at a one time, and then if they were willing to do more, perhaps coming and explaining the services of the ombudsman to the coalition members so that they had more information.
So I don't know how much the postage would cost for that, but that was the only intent was probably postage.
$36.
Jenny, would that be a problem?
May I come forward?
You may come forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jen Dennison, Governor's Advocacy Office, Department of Human Services. We don't have a brochure. And I'm guessing the information that may have been shared with legislators is our list of all the ombudsmen in the state. I'm trying to figure out what may have been given that you didn't get, because there are many ombudsman functions with state agencies. That's easy. I have that in my email. I zip it to anybody who requests.
Mr. Chair, if you recall in 1997 when we had some very interesting discussions around the ombudsman and their role, there were a number of materials about the ombudsman that were provided in a packet to the legislative committee that listed the phone number, the types of services that ombudsman provided, perhaps a single page descriptor. So that's the informational packet that I was referring to.
But you don't.
It's in my email. I just zip it out to anybody who asks for it.
So
it isn't a printed document. It's just.
So possibly you could email it out to 36 counties. That'd be great. Maybe come to coalition and give a presentation.
Yes. Yeah. Really easy.
So basically, the coalition could ask for it, and Jen could get it out, and then we have the information we need.
Right.
I'm gonna close. 2081. We have accomplished our purpose.
Great.
With the bill.
All right.
And with that, any other comments? I appreciate y'all coming and sharing. It's